people ask what Omaha means. It's a run play, but it could be a pass play.
Omaha. That's the sound. That's the signal right there. It's kind of like Peyton Manning just sort of barking out the orders. We know what to expect now. It's not an audible anymore. We always know a writer from 105 The Ticket's going to join us. This time, Tom Schreier joins us. A great article in today's on The Ticket. You can catch it on our webpage. On our show page, 105 The Ticket, 105theticket.com. And you can do that. Tom, good article.
Yeah, thank you very much. You almost said newspaper. I know you almost did, but us millennials, we just read on the internet, man.
Yeah, the internet's www. That's
www. The interweb.
Yep, the interweb.
Yeah, the interweb.
The thing that Al Gore invented, not to be political by any means.
No.
Real quick, Tom Schreier, I want to get to your article, but breaking news really from Timberwolves camp in Target Center. I know you're down there at Flip Saunders' press conference.
Yep.
Just announced that Nikola Pekovic and Kevin Martin will not play tonight when the Timberwolves host the Los Angeles Lakers due to injury. Obviously, Pekovic played only 12 minutes, I believe, on Saturday against Memphis. His right ankle pretty sore. So any news on that? Is he going to be out for a while? And then what's going on with Kevin Martin?
Yeah, so Kevin Martin, I think, is less of a concern. I mean, he has the flu, and hopefully he'll get over it soon. So Gary Neal's going to play a lot of time. I saw him running through the corridors, and Flip goes, slow down, man. You're playing a lot of minutes tonight. But I would say with Pekovic, you know, that's very concerning. I mean, I think he benefited from kind of good timing with that contract. I know they wanted to keep Love, and both Martin and Pekovic, I think, got bigger contracts because of that. I mean, the other thing with that too is that it's an injury that we've seen before. Flip didn't really want to go in depth with it. I mean, he's getting frustrated with how many injuries this team has had, and I think he kind of kept everyone sane, for lack of a better word, throughout the season. And this is another one that they really don't need. Peck, we talked to him after the last game, and he's incredibly frustrated. I mean, obviously he has the black eye, and now his ankle's bothering him. And this is something where I don't know if they're going to have to, you know, reduce minutes, or if they're going to have to, you know, not allow back to backs, or what they're going to do. But they need his size, and I think that was very, very prevalent when KG, you know, was tossed from the game, and all of a sudden Peck can't play, and you have, you know, Andrew Wiggins guarding Randolph, which is not what you want. So he's a very valuable member of this team, and I don't know what they're going to do in terms of if they're going to buy him out or you know, playing time or anything like that. I think anything's on the table right now, to be honest with you.
Now, what do you think, Tom, of Pekovic as a player when he's healthy? I mean, he is an effective player on the offensive side of the court, and I mean, he's a big man. You're right. We need someone big in the paint on the other side just to get in someone's way, or at least some body presence.
Yeah, I mean, Jang is, I think, a good defensive player. He can definitely block, and he's quick and whatnot, but he's not a big body. And your DeMarcus Cousins, those type players, when you have Gasol and Randolph on the same team, I mean, the Wolves can't handle that. They're young and by nature, you know, a little bit smaller. And so they need that big body. He's like a cement brick. You can't really move him. And he's not a rim protector. And I know people pick apart his game, but, you know, he is a force inside. He can get to the basket when he wants to. And maybe not the most dynamic player. He's not Levine flying around, but he plays an important role. And I, you know, I don't know how they feel that, because even with Kevin Garnett, Garnett's playing 20 minutes a night. He's not going to step in for where Pekovic is at. Now I don't know if you have to, you know, how you have to do that with limiting minutes. I mean, they definitely, you know, have a predicament on their hands.
Tom Schreier from our Cold Omaha writing team at 105theticket.com, live from Target Center right now with the breaking news that that Kevin Garnett will play tonight. Kevin Martin out with the flu. He's not playing tonight. And then Peck has got, he only played 12 minutes on Saturday against Memphis because of the sore right leg, and now he's not playing again tonight. Now, you had mentioned all these possibilities. Everything's on the table now. Do you think that the Minnesota Timberwolves and Flip Saunders, basically, being the guy that's in charge of everything these days, was trying to move Peck before the trade deadline? You had mentioned a possible buyout. You said everything's on the table. How realistic would a possible buyout be with him signing that 5-year, $60 million contract just last year?
It'd be tough, if anything, just because they need him. And I think maybe they take the risk that, hey, you know, as we fill out our team and as the younger players can play more minutes, and somewhat Wiggins, of course, is at this point, but, you know, as we can give him more responsibility, can we kind of scale back on Peck? And I think they might have to, especially with the cap going out, just kind of not look at the contract and say, hey, money doesn't give you playing time. Kind of, you merit it both on your performance and how healthy you are. So it's beyond just the fact that it'd be insanely expensive and obviously doesn't look good as an organization. You know, like, you tend to look at organizations and say, hey, how much money they have, you know, dead weight do they have on the books? But, I personally would hesitate to do it. I think it's a last resort buying him out. At the same time, going to your, you know, the trade value thing, I mean, it has to be low just because I think teams know, you know, what his injury track record is and they know what his weaknesses are. And like I said, I said it before, I think his weaknesses sometimes overshadow what he has to offer. But with, you know, DeAndre Jordan's out there and Zebos and stuff like that, I mean, he isn't quite as dynamic as those players.
Tom Schreier with Cold Omaha, our writing staff here at 105 The Ticket. Let's get into your article a little bit and delve into that. And while we're with the Timberwolves, talking about Kevin Garnett coming back to Minnesota to this horrible, you know, the frozen tundras, the terrible place with all the lakes and the cold, cold weather just
blowing. And why would any free agent want to come here?
Why would you want to come here if you're Ricky Rubio? I mean, why? But they do, and they want to stay here, and they call it home, and they want to come back here and live here. Why is that?
Well, you know, it was one of those things when I was out in California going to school, people would tell me, they were like, why would you want to go home? And like I said, I never really had an intent of staying out there. I really enjoyed my 4 years there, but this was home to me, and I, you know, spent most of my life here aside from 2.5 years I spent in New York when I was younger. But, you know, for me, I think, you know, it's different things for different people, but I think there are great places to live, and obviously the, you know, Four Seasons and two nice cities and stuff like that. But beyond that, I mean, I think it just looking at anecdotal things, you know, Garnett, as is well documented, is from South Carolina. He played his high school ball in Chicago, and he's a guy who, I mean, even Doc Rivers said it today, you know, he said he couldn't really tell in Boston. It was a perfect situation. He didn't really talk about Minnesota much, but he goes, we had to, like, pry him from their grip, and he goes, you know, look at where, you know, there was three losing seasons, and he goes, he's just super loyal. And I think, you know, players get houses here. I think they realize it's one of those things. I think I quoted in my article, there's kind of that old adage where it's hard to get people to come here, but once they do, they never leave. So, you know, everyone has their own reason, but I think that's kind of what's the thing about Minnesota. There's something for everyone. And so, you know, with Ricky Rubio, I think they did a good job selling him on it, being like, this is a metropolis, this isn't a frozen tundra. And, you know, I look back at those quotes, having been at the press conference when he was signed that big contract, and that's one thing Flip has emphasized with both KG and Rubio. They love it here, and Rubio came out and said it. He goes, you know, I was a little hesitant about it, but I love Minnesota. I kind of get the vibe, and I think he wanted to be here, and if he didn't, you know what, someone else would have paid him. So I think that's the deal with those two superstar players, and it's definitely an asset for a city that isn't known for bright lights or, you know, kind of the East Coast vibe or obviously the sunshine of the Sun Belt or the West Coast.
Yeah, it really is kind of an amazing element about the Twin Cities is that these athletes have easily the means to be able to go on and make a home somewhere else and certainly not have to come back here, you know, unless it's a visit or a chance just to sort of bounce in and see the old team and say hi or whatever the case. But these people want to come back and make this home, and they have the money to literally have a home in every state, and yet they do come back here. And there is something more than just being a cornfield and a place to fly over. These people, some special guys from you mentioned it already, Tom. Those warm climates, South Carolina or Spain or whatever the case. It's just an amazing place to land, and I made it my home. And I'm from Iowa, for gosh sakes. I live way down south.
Anything's better than Iowa.
I knew that was a slow pitch.
Idiots out wandering around. Yeah. That's what it stands for.
Yeah, well, you're right. I mean, you know what? This is an upgrade. This is a pretty big upgrade. As soon as I crossed the border from Iowa into Minnesota, I knew I was doing something very right. And I love that. Hit that one again.
We're playing your laugh.
Tom Schreier's laugh.
It's contagious.
Yeah, dude, it's captured. I said I'm worried. Hellboy took my soul. You know, my soul is sitting in that computer somewhere. Yeah, no, that's worrying.
Well, anyway, I just want you to know that I thought it was a brilliant observation. You talk about all the athletes that we lose and the fact that we're the frozen tundras and everything else, but there are a lot of people that are thinking off a lot of the Twin Cities and coming here to live and making home here again, even after they're done with their playing days. There's a lot that can be said for the Twin Cities and the way of life in Minnesota.
Yeah, and so I'd say the big takeaway is don't let anyone tell you, you know, like, we can't win because the athletes don't want to be here. And, you know, everything you heard, I think growing up, I was always under the impression that this was like a small market and, you know, they couldn't afford these players and no one wanted to live here. And it's an impression I got out in California, too, just hearing people. And believe it or not, people can be a little snooty out in San Francisco, but,
no.
You know, but, you know, the impression I got when I, especially working on a Bleacher Report, the time I did that after my sophomore year, you know, those guys would say, hey, you guys, you just can't win. I don't know why you root for these teams. And I said, you know, over time, I realized this is the 14th largest market. And certainly we have enough media here, enough, you know, big skyscrapers and suburbs and all that stuff. And beyond that, it's just people do really enjoy it. And I think that, you know, lost in the mix is that, you know, again, Joe Maurer at the time, I don't know about now, but, you know, he could have left for Boston or New York and he decided to stay here. Rubio's come back. Randy Moss is like, I know it was short stayed, but who'd have thought that guy who kind of seemed to, you know, wear out his welcome a little bit in Minnesota was going to come back? And people are very receptive to these guys. They love Torrey Hunter, you know, and rightfully so. And they love Kevin Garnett and Randy Moss. And so, like I said, I just wouldn't let these, you know, ownership say, well, yep, we can't get the players to come here. We can't spend the money. There's not enough, you know, not a big enough market. There's no reason that the teams should be as bad as they have been. To be honest with
you. I agree. I totally agree. By the way, you can also hear Tom Schreier on the Wake Up Call on Cold Omaha Sunday mornings from 8 o'clock until 10. Anyone you want to feature right now?
You know, I would say, as always, Sam Ekstrom's work is really good. He's really dug in with the Gophers, and I think he's, I've been in there once and I just drove him to one of the press conferences and he has a really good rapport there. He's really dug in deep. And then, Brandon Warren. I mean, everyone here does great work, but Brandon really does know the stats. I was surprised that at his age, he's 28 and a couple of years out of college, that he was available. And I mean, that was one of our biggest pickups, and he's just really well networked, really great on Twitter, definitely a good follow. And, he definitely knows the stats side, but also is able to kind of reach out to average people like me who don't really know mathematics. So, you know, there's so much phenomenal writing there. And like I said, I almost have to push myself to be better because I realize these guys are getting read and their content is really, really good.
Thank you, Tom.
Enjoy the game tonight, Tommy. You do
enjoy,
great work.
Enjoy your game, and we'll have you back on sometime this
tomorrow.
Week or next. Tomorrow you're back on. Okay.
He's going to join us live because he covers the Minnesota Wild. He'll join us down at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub at 6 o'clock tomorrow.
Very good.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah,
enjoy the game.
I'm thrilled.
We are going to come back, and when we do, Minnesota sports trivia. We need two contestants, please. So call 651-989-9105. If you are one of the two contestants, you can win a pair of tickets to the Minnesota State High School Hockey League this Wednesday.
Ooh, the tournament.
March 4th.
I was hearing, my brother told me he wants to go this weekend. He said there's a two-year waiting list to get tickets for this weekend's game.
I believe it. Right at the X.
We're your official radio sponsor, by the way. Every game, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, high school hockey right here on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
So give us a call, 651-989-9105. We'll be back with the contest next.
You're listening to 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
What do you mean, no idea?
I have no idea what that was.
Chia? You know Chia Pet?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what that is.
Chia.
Harry Newsom was a punter that we had when I first got here in 1991. He had hair everywhere. I mean, he was like, he looked like a Chia Pet, and we called him Chia. And we used to go up and say, Harry, were you named Harry because you're Harry or just because your parents named you Harry? Please piss him off. We have a little game to go through with you people. We do have two contestants, by the way, waiting for us on the phones. Minnesota Sports Trivia, needing two contestants. The winner of this game win a pair of tickets to the Minnesota State High School Hockey Tournament beginning this Wednesday, March 4th at the X. Who do we have on line one?
Contestant numero uno is Russ from Otsego. Hey, Russ, you are on 105 The Ticket to play this silly game. Remember, three questions, all multiple choice, and you have the superstar Mike Morris as your arbiter.
Sounds good.
Well, no, you're
not the arbiter. No. I'm a lifeline.
Oh, you're a lifeline. That's right.
Am I not?
So, you're a lifeline. So if you have a question, you have a problem on one of the, you can use him on one of these three questions. You can ask him for his unbridled intelligence. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
I have for wait. Hold on. I have to get the bridle out of my mouth first. Okay,
ready?
I'm ready to go. I spit the bit out.
All right, here we go. Russ from Otsego, question numero uno. What is Bert Blyleven's full given name? Is it A, Alberto Ricardo Blyleven? Is it B,
Rick Albert Blylevin, C, Albert Rick Blylevin, or D, Bertha Blylevin?
Or E, B, Bert B. Home Blylevin. That's funny stuff right there, man. Okay,
let's, cool whip.
That's and to think that I'm your lifeline. What a joke! All right, give him a shot again. A through D, real quick.
What is Bert Blylevin's full given name? A, Alberto Ricardo Blylevin. B, Rick Albert Blylevin. C, Albert Rick Blylevin. D, Bertha Blylevin. Or E, Be Home
Blylevin. All right. Enough funny.
C.
Enough comedy jokes.
You're saying C, Albert Rick Blylevin. That is incorrect.
Oh.
It is incorrect. Crap. It is actually B, Rick Albert Blylevin. Russ from Otsego, you are 0 for 1. Question number 2. Where was Kevin McHale born? Is it A, Hibbing, Minnesota? B, Eveleth, Minnesota? C, Bowabic, Minnesota? D, Miami, Florida?
I'll say A.
A, Hibbing, Minnesota is a correct amundo.
All right.
Who else was born there?
Bob Dylan?
Correct!
Bob Dylan!
Yes, sir.
There you go. Nice job. Right. Nice job.
Russ from Otsego, you're 1 for 1. Here we go. Question number 3. Where was Chuck Foreman born? Chuck Foreman, former Minnesota Viking running back, part of the team here at 105 The Ticket. Where was Chuck Foreman born? Was it A, Jackson, Michigan? B, Akron, Ohio? C, Cleveland, Ohio? D, Frederick, Maryland?
I'll ask the superstar on this one. I figured he'd know this one.
Go with Frederick, Maryland, please.
I will go with Frederick, Maryland.
Final answer?
Final answer.
2 for 3, Russ from Otsego. Congratulations.
Nicely done. I told you to say Be Home Bly 11. You would have had it.
I know.
Oh, well. Yeah. I'm sorry about that. What was his middle name again? Which one was it for Bly 11?
Rick Albert.
Albert Bly 11. Wow.
Bly
nice.
11.
Pretty strong name.
Yeah.
Who do we have on line 2?
Russ, hold on just a second. We're going to go to contestant numero dos, Sean from Bloomington. Hey, Sean, you're on 105 The Ticket. We're playing silly games for tickets to go see the Minnesota High School Hockey Tournament games on Wednesday.
All right.
And what's his name again?
His name is Sean from Bloomington.
Sean, a couple quick questions. Number one, yeah. What do you bench?
287.
No, you don't.
That's pretty good. That's not too bad. You ever had your ass cooled with a folding chair, buddy?
Nope.
Okay, well, we can work on that later. You want to play the game now? I'm your lifeline, by the way.
Cool.
Okay, right. Okay.
You
good.
You have
good,
a problem, ask the superstar.
Yeah.
Question number one. Sean from Bloomington, what team did former Viking great Jim Marshall play for before he joined the Minnesota Vikings and became part of the Purple People Eaters? Was it A, the Washington Racists? B, the St. Louis Cardinals? C, the Cleveland Browns? D, the Baltimore Colts? Which team did Jim Marshall play for before the Minnesota Vikings?
I'll go Cleveland Browns.
Cleveland Browns, correct!
Correct!
Correct, Mundo, Sean.
Nicely done.
You're doing well. Question number 2. Which one of these teams did Herb Brooks not coach? Which one of these teams did Herb Brooks not coach?
Did you say Herb Brooks or Herb Brooks?
Herb Brooks.
What a weirdo.
Yeah.
You're weird.
Is it A, the Minnesota Brooks. North Stars? B, the Pittsburgh Penguins? C, the Minnesota Gophers? D, the St. Cloud Huskies?
St. Cloud.
That is correct.
Nice. You did. You said you have or have not had your ass cooled with a folding chair.
Not yet.
Okay. Right. Well, we'll work on that.
Question 3, Sean from Bloomington. This is for the win. Minnesota sports trivia. The winner wins a pair of tickets to the Minnesota State High School Hockey Tournament this Wednesday, March 4th at the X. Question 3. Who scored the only touchdown for the Minnesota Vikings in their 16-6 loss to the Steelers in Super Bowl 9? Is it A, Chuck Foreman? B, Bill Brown? C, Terry Brown? Or D, nobody? The Vikings didn't score a touchdown that game.
I'll use the lifeline on this one.
Lifeline for the superstar, Mike Morris.
Read the question one more time and let me just sort of delve into this.
Okay. Who scored the only touchdown for the Vikings during their 16-6 loss to the Steelers in Super Bowl 9?
Mm-hmm.
A, Chuck Foreman? B, Bill Brown? C, Terry Brown? D, nobody, because the Vikings didn't score a touchdown. If you get this right,
you know what?
Sean's going to the game on Wednesday.
I know.
If you get it wrong, it's a tiebreaker.
You know, the first thing that popped into my head was Chuck Foreman. But then there's something about that game that I want to say that they didn't score a touchdown. I want to say Chuck Foreman. They may have missed the extra point. I'm sorry on this one. I'm just guessing. I will say no touchdown scored by anybody.
No touchdown scored by anybody. All right, Sean from Bloomington, will you take the superstar's advice or will you go it on your own?
I'm just guessing.
All right, let's go with it.
With what the superstar said?
Yep.
That's not good.
Chuck Foreman, wasn't it?
Terry Brown.
I'm dead in the water. Well, he recovered
a punt. A punt fumble. Ran it in for a touchdown.
And then missed extra point.
Yeah.
I knew there was a missed extra point.
Yeah.
Damn it.
So, Sean from Bloomington, you are now tied with Russ from Otsego. Sean and Russ, you're both on the telephone right now. Can I hear you both say hi?
Hi.
Yeah, that was very effeminate, but thank you. tiebreaker question. What we're going to do here, I'm going to ask a question, and then the first person to shout out their own name gets to go first. Okay? Sean and Russ?
All right.
Here we go. Tiebreaker question. What year did the Lakers move from Minneapolis to Los Angeles?
Sean.
Sean.
I want to say 1958.
And then, Russ, what would your guess be?
1959.
Well, Russ, you're closer because it was 1960. So, Russ, congratulations, my friend. You just won a pair of tickets to the Minnesota State High School Hockey Tournament.
Good job.
This Wednesday, just for the tickets for this Wednesday's game, March 4th at the XL Energy Center. All games Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Covered right here, wall-to-wall on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket. Thanks for playing along, guys. I appreciate it. Russ, congratulations, my man.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
All right. On.
Fun little game here at Radioactive Sports. Ah, Terry Brown.
Yeah.
I remember that now. I knew there was an extra point that was missed.
I threw in that little, it was a little tricky thing.
Yeah.
Nobody scored because
couple field
only
goals.
6 points.
Yeah. There was a safety in one of our games, too. I think that was it as well. Fran Tarkenton actually got caught for his safety in the end zone, and that's why it was 16.
Mm.
Like the Pittsburgh Steelers had a two-point safety.
I'm glad I wasn't alive during those four Super Bowl runs because I would have been... My life would have, the trajectory of my life would have changed. I'd probably be down at some hinky-dink mental institution.
I think I'm headed that way because of following this team the way I did. I saw all four of those Super Bowls every play, and I was also part of 9 years of Vikings football, and I'm about ready to jump off a very tall bridge with the water being frozen. But, you know, we're going to come back, and do we have time?
We're
going to have to go and take a little break right now. Come back. We're going to talk about the top 10 undrafted free agents in NFL history. Do you hear me? That's right. Come on back. That list next on Radioactive Sports.
Cool whip.
Oh, that was nice. I think I'm getting closer, but my voice is a little bit off. Bear with me a little bit.
I'm not sure what happened.
I don't know what happened to my voice today, but it's all messed up.
I think it's
probably something going around.
Fish sticks?
You know, I think it might be the fish sticks.
I think you're a gay fish then.
I love fish sticks.
Remember that South Park episode?
Oh, yeah.
With Kanye West?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Kanye West was so upset. Everybody kept asking Kanye West, do you like fish sticks? And he'd say, who doesn't like fish sticks? And they're like, okay, you're a gay fish.
That's some funny stuff right there, boys.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, that and Beavis and Butthead. Funny crap right there, boys. We're going to talk. I think I told you people, didn't I?
Did
I tell you guys once or twice?
I'm that just we're not people.
Yeah. Undrafted free agents in NFL history. The top 10 that made it somehow, some way, without being drafted into the National Football League.
Okay.
I have that top 10 list right before
651-989-9105, because I'm surely going to need help. 651-597-711-122.
It's pretty tough.
989-9105.
Tough, tough list. Because you always think of these players, of course, due to their greatness, as being easily drafted players. So it makes it twice as hard. And you're looking up something already.
No.
Which is incredibly bad of you.
I'm not looking up anything.
You're cheating.
No, I was looking up Harry Newsom. Honest to God.
That's the most
former puncher for the
disturbing
Minnesota
picture. To see a picture of Harry Newsom up there in the middle of nowhere. That just came out of nowhere.
I'll say Wes Welker.
Oh, God.
Wes Welker.
There we go. You cheated. Well, I mean, it was easy. Amazing how you flipped over to that picture of Harry Newsom.
Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so Wes Welker absolutely is one of those.
Mm-hmm. Kurt Warner.
Yeah, funny enough. He is as well.
Uh-huh.
But we all know sort of the history behind Kurt Warner. I mean, he came through the Arena League and then NFL Europe, and then he finally bounced his way after bagging groceries in Des Moines and then playing for the Iowa Barnstormers and playing at the school, UNI, Northern Iowa.
Mm-hmm. Me and you, you mean?
Pardon me? Yeah, you and I. You
no,
and
me and you.
You and me. Wait, that's grammatically incorrect. You and I.
And then me and you.
And then me and you, and then you and I.
Because that's a hell of a university,
and
too.
And a great school.
Me and you, one of my favorite schools. So, Wes Welker, Kurt Warner, Julian Edelman.
Julian Edelman is a free agent, was a free agent, rather, and no, he's not on this list.
All time,
but wait till you hear this list.
All time.
You're going to have a tough time with this.
Yeah, that's why I was maybe thinking about looking something up.
Let me give you a few hints.
Okay.
See if you can even get them.
Sure.
Okay, this guy has a history.
Mm-hmm.
Of making a blunder or two.
Leon Lett.
In the playoffs. But still has some of the biggest numbers, maybe of all time, and stands to make some, pass some of the biggest
Peyton
records.
Manning was number one overall. No.
No, it wasn't him. But he has enormous numbers. He really does. I mean, if you look at his numbers, you'd think.
Which position?
Quarterback.
Huh.
He has a star on his helmet.
Tony Romo wasn't drafted?
Tony Romo was not drafted.
He wasn't drafted?
Eastern Illinois, I think 2003.
Oh.
Okay, the next one up. I don't know if you have any understanding of the Miami Dolphins 72 team, but there was a Hall of Famer. No, he was actually out of Syracuse. He was drafted. But Larry Little, the offensive guard. I didn't think you'd get him, but he was from Bethune-Cookman.
Oh,
and in 1967.
Good old Bethune-Cookman.
He's in the Hall of Fame, though. In the Hall of Fame. And most of these guys are, by the way. Kurt Warner not in yet, but I think he will be. How about a quarterback that is in the Hall of Fame?
Hmm.
And is, you know, yeah, he's played here before. He played through here. Quarterback, I mentioned that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he must have played about 21 years.
Good Lord.
21 years.
Archie Manning?
No. Hall of Fame.
Warren Moon.
Out of Washington. They said he couldn't play quarterback. Well,
that's right.
Funny
so he
enough.
Went to the
so
CFL
to Canada.
Instead.
Right.
That's right.
He would have been drafted. They wanted him as a wide receiver and or defensive back. I think wide receiver more so.
It's because the NFL football period was racist back in the day.
It was stupid. Yeah, it was just dumb. It was ignorant. And, yeah, they didn't think that black quarterbacks could, blacks could play quarterback. And that the most ridiculous and asinine thing ever in the history of the world was that stupid-ass notion. This guy is... Let's just go with another Viking. I got on the list another
John Randall.
Come on.
Well, since you said Viking, it reminded me John Randall was never drafted.
Well,
he's a Hall of Famer.
Okay, so he's not, and he's in the Hall of Fame. So most of these players are in the Hall of Fame, by the way. But Johnny Randall, coming out of Texas A&I in 1990. He got here 1 year before I did. I played 9 years with John Randall. And probably one of the craziest guys you'll ever meet in the history of crazy. Crazy being around for a long time.
And his war paint, too. I love it.
And his war paint. He had the... Of course, he was big into wrestling. Huge in professional wrestling. He loved it.
Mm.
And he loved the Ultimate Warrior.
What about the guy...
Put the paint on.
What about one of the guys that went to my same high school? Maybe the greatest kicker of all time, Adam Vinatieri. I don't think he was drafted.
South Dakota State, free agent. And he's on this list.
Nice.
I've took it from one of the NFL Network lists.
Proud of you.
So, I mean, it was, yeah, it's a great source.
Proud of you.
You'll have a tough time with some of these coming down the stretch, though.
You might have to help a brother out.
Well, yeah, and I will. And Vinatieri, by the way, I think might be the second kicker someday in the Hall of Fame. The only one, good. The only other one is Jan Stenerud.
Yeah.
This
one with the foot.
What's, oh, Tom Dempsey?
Yeah.
Yeah, not going to make it. He was horrible. Really overweight, yeah. Too. Very fat. Can't help it. Just he was. Great cornerback, a shutdown corner, probably the first shutdown corner ever in the National Football League's history. Played for the Raiders.
Night Train Lane.
Well, Night Train was a great player. No, how about Willie Brown?
Oh, Willie Brown. Downtown
Night Train was
Willie
also.
Brown.
The story about Night Train Lane, it's interesting that you bring his name up. He, Night Train Lane, was abandoned as a baby.
What?
In a dumpster. He
You've
was put
be
in
kidding
a,
me.
Absolutely the truth. The absolute truth. Night Train Lane. Dick Night Train Lane. Night Train Lane.
Huh.
And, but it's just incredible. Anyway, the other ones on this list, that I don't think you'll get. Willie Brown, by the way, from Grambling, 1963, undrafted. Fabulous player for the Raiders for a long, long time. Also, Donnie Shell from the Pittsburgh Steelers out of South Carolina State in 74. He went undrafted. Drew Pearson for the Dallas Cowboys.
Sure.
Number
Made
88.
The catch.
Absolutely. And that number's been handed down quite nicely from Drew Pearson to Michael Irvin, now to Dez Bryant. 88's been a pretty popular number there in Dallas. But in 1973, Drew Pearson went undrafted to the Dallas Cowboys. And that's the list.
Heck
of a list.
The
list, but Dick Night Train Lane, undrafted and in the Hall of Fame.
Found in a dumpster.
Found in a dumpster. Come on back, everybody. We got some silly side of sports. And then we got a little, well, as always, we'll have a true superstar for you all waiting for the end of the show. Come on back.
Back to Radioactive Sports. The superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
I know it's a sillier side of sports, but I have a question for you. I know you're a smart man. You know a lot of things.
Well.
Is today the first day of spring?
No, it's not.
You sure?
Yep.
Somebody told me today was the first day of spring.
No, I'm so sorry. It's not. It's very close, though, I think. I don't think it is, no.
First day of spring 2015 is March 20th.
That's what I thought.
It's the vernal equinox.
I think the first day of summer might be June 21st. First day of summer?
June 21st.
The first day of fall might be September 15th.
First day of fall is September 23rd.
Whoops.
Let me guess. You're asking winter.
I'm going to say is December, November 30th.
December 22nd.
You're out of your mind.
December 22nd.
Sillier side of sports. Here we go.
The internet told me that. Green Bay Packers cornerback Jarrett Bush arrested for public intoxication early on Sunday morning in Northern California. He was booked for disorderly conduct under the influence after being taken into custody in Vacaville, California. Not really sure what that is.
Mm.
In addition to the misdemeanor, he was given a $1,600 bail charge, according to the news report. Bush was released after being placed in a detention hold. This took place outside of a restaurant where Bush was asked to leave by the cops and refused.
Hmm. Well,
they won't charge
you
him
want to
with
do
crime.
Is you don't want to mouth off to cops or like go ahead and take a swing at a cop. But if you're going to act all belligerent, I mean, ask Tommy Johnson this. He got tased up the ass.
He got tased up. No, he was not tased up his sphincter. He got tased, but it wasn't in his butt area.
Jared Bush guy, I'm telling you right now.
I think you're mistaken.
If it happened to me, I mean, I would just be good about things. And for anyone else that doesn't take my advice, they got to be taken out behind the bar and shot.
Yeah.
Line him up and shoot him.
Me too.
No, okay. So anyway, so what the hell was his problem anyway? He's been drinking a little
drunk.
Bit?
He was drunk.
It always happens. After a little alcohol, you think you know it all, and you're miserable.
No, you're invincible, not miserable.
Did you say miserable?
No, I said invincible. We always talk about the sillier side of sports or guys losing their...
losing their voice.
No, they're hee-hee. They're...
Oh, you mean...
The...
Oh, yeah. Locked off. You know what I mean? No main.
Gurmeet Ram Rahim. Gurmeet?
Gurmeet.
There's a guy by the name of Gurmeet Ram Rahim Singh. He's an Indian pop star from India. He's also a telepreacher with a reported wealth of more than $50 million. He's being investigated after he allegedly convinced around 400 men to remove their testicles.
What's he going to do?
One of his former followers who underwent castration 7 years ago, his name is Hans Raj Shahan. He's one of the few to break the silence to speak out against this guy. The victims were told that only those who get castrated will be able to meet God. Says Shahan's lawyer. Not surprising, though, this Singh guy still has his balls and still has $50 million. Why is it always the leader who says, you drink this Kool-Aid, you wear these Nikes, put on these pump Reeboks and go into your bed and take this little pill.
Take a nap.
And the ringleader never...
Well, you said he has $50 million. I think we were talking about it last week. I mean, looking for... You're throwing stuff at me again. Looking for people who would donate their testes. Or they were just stealing them.
Well, they were stealing testicles. They were selling them. They were stealing testicles in Russia.
Someone ran a number last week that said it was worth $50,000 per testee. Yeah. Maybe that's why this cat's got so much money.
Yeah.
He's selling pairs of them out there like that. I mean, that's $100,000 every time he does one of those.
Yeah. So 100,000 times 400.
Good cash. Damn good business. And business is a booming.
100,000.
It seems like quite a bit, doesn't it?
40 million. Maybe that's where he got all his money. You're right.
Well, he's selling balls.
You've got to be kidding me.
Well, see, that's where he got it.
I want to start.
I mean, he's no rock star. I mean, the idiot, we don't know him. No one knows the guy, but he's got what? How can you have $50 million?
I'm going to start a deballing religion. Think people will follow me? Let me chop off your gonads, and I'll sell them for... I'm not going to tell him I'm selling for $50,000.
And he's well invested. I mean, he's invested all that, and he's made $10 million on his original investment of like 40.
Unbelievable.
I mean, yeah, it's a horrible thing. And then you can go start cutting albums. You know, instead of testes, you can start cutting records.
Sillier side of sports, Tiger Woods' agent responding today to allegations made by little-known pro golfer Dan Olson, who said last week on the radio that Tiger Woods is serving a suspension for a failed drug test. He's not injured. He didn't step away. He knows. He's saying, I heard he's on a month suspension. And it's kind of a strong witness, a credible person that's telling me this. It's not testosterone, but it's something else. I think when it's all said and done, he's going to surpass Lance Armstrong with infamy. That according to Dan Olson, who said that on the radio. Ooh. This morning, the PGA Tour responded to the claim, saying, quote, there is no truth whatsoever to these claims. We categorically deny these allegations, but there have been several times where you and I have discussed the possibility that Tiger Woods, I mean, he met with the same doctor several times in Florida that Alex Rodriguez was hanging out with. The same doctor that's now in federal prison. This Bosch character.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can't believe that no one else thinks that Tiger Woods wasn't doing anything. I mean, he was big and strapping, lean. I mean, just nothing but shoulders and tiny, tiny waist. And it looked like, I mean, he had legs. I mean, I think he was working out pretty hard. Some people who said that when he came here for the PGA Championship out here at Hazleton, that he was working out. They saw him working out at like 4 a.m. over one of the fitness places here in town.
Because he couldn't sleep because one of the side effects of roids is restlessness.
I think so.
I
mean, you tell us. I mean, you're the one that's working out.
Well, look at me.
And you're juiced, clearly.
Well, obviously. And my balls are teeny, so if you try to cut them off and sell them $50,000 a piece, you probably get half price for them.
Well.
And my head is huge, and I'm angry.
So that's what it is.
Flying off the handle.
Well, I mean, that's because you're taking too much gas.
Yeah.
You've got to get off the gas.
Finally.
And you might want to put down the dope.
Well.
I thought Tiger might have been doing some dope.
I didn't. I smoked a little bit of weed, remember?
Performance enhancement, though. I think that's what he's been doing.
Finally, sillier side of sports. If you believe Aaron Hernandez is guilty of murdering Odin Lloyd, what he's on trial for right now, you probably also believe this isn't the first time that Aaron Hernandez has probably killed somebody. Hernandez has been charged with a double homicide in Boston. His former friend Alexander Bradley claims that Hernandez shot him right in the eye at Tootsie's Gentleman's Club over who owed what for the tab. This Hernandez and this guy, Bradley,
were arguing who owed who for the tab, and they ended up leaving. That's when Hernandez took him to a remote area, shot him in the face, and pushed him out of the car, leaving him for dead.
Whew. Ooh.
And then played the playoff game the next day like nothing had happened.
Next day?
Yeah. This friend, Bradley, has a weird eye now, but was shot like right in, and survived.
He survived it?
Yeah.
I mean, and the ones that he killed, I mean, he executed two men. Well, that's why he's in jail. That's why he's in prison. I can say that. Is that one of these two guys was talking to him at a nightclub, ended up spilling beer on him and not really saying anything to apologize for it. And he...
Gotta die.
Took that personally, and when the two guys left, he went out and followed them out to their car and got in his and followed them. They pull it up at a light, and it's over. Done deal.
Cold.
Gone.
Blooded.
Cold-blooded. I mean, when you think about that, that is just astonishing to me.
No excuse. Big day today. Obviously, the Minnesota Wild make two trades, bringing Jordan Leopold back to Minnesota. He won a championship with the Gophers in 2002. Big night tonight. Kevin Garnett playing against the Los Angeles Clippers here at Target Center. Kevin Martin, Nikola Pekovic not playing. Tomorrow, Minnesota Wild play the Ottawa Senators at the at the XL Energy Center in St. Paul. You and I, superstar Mike Morris, join us at Tom Reed's Hockey City Pub. We'll be there from 4 to 7.
It's great, eating, great college, too, you and I.
And drinking, and me and you. That's my second favorite college. I love you to death. Thanks for being my friend. I can't wait to do this radio show thing with you again tomorrow.
We'll do it again tomorrow. Going down to Tom Reed's and just check it out a little bit and go over and see some hockey, shall we?
But now it's time to honor a fallen hero, an American hero.
Absolutely, a true superstar in my books. I hope in yours as well. Army Sergeant First Class Raymond S. Morris is my true superstar for the day. 37 years of age, from New York, New York. He was assigned to the 2nd Squadron, 3rd Cavalry Regiment, 1st Cavalry Division, Fort Hood, Texas. He died December 12th in Parwan Province, Afghanistan, of wounds caused by an improvised explosive device. 37-year-old Army Sergeant First Class Raymond S. Morris is the true superstar. Remember him, please, in your hearts and prayers, if you're a person of prayer or not. He was a soldier. He was brave, and he honored his country and gave his life for his country.
Waco, WRXP Cambridge, WGBZ Eden Prairie, from the Mills Fleet Farm Studios. This is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket, 105.1, 105.3, and 105.7. A Cumulus station.